Dr. Paul Ruff, our friend who we love, is ready to help you get into spring and have a fabulous spring look. All you need to do is make your appointment and visit westendplasticsurgery.com. Now, of course, you know Dr. Paul Ruff because both Paul Wharton and I have experienced his professionalism and also his great work. I have my lip injections and Botox. Paul, what else have you done?
Well, I've done a couple of things. I've basically stopped the hands of time, Sarah.
Perfect. Book your appointment with Dr. Paul Ruff at westendplasticsurgery.com or call him 202-785-4187 and be sure to tell him that Sarah and Paul from the Hey Frage podcast sent you.
You'll thank us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every day, hey phrase. What's the phrase that you hear every day? Hey phrase. What's the phrase that you hear every day? Hey phrase. What's the phrase that you hear? Tune in, yeah, you gotta tune in. Sarah Fraser on the mic, and she about to begin. This the best podcast in all of the land. Take it from me, you should be listening. Live from the nation's cap, pop culture at its best. No need a second guess, separated from the rest. Entertaining nonetheless, many topics to address. Sarah, right. She's a glamorous, the number one hostess.
Hey.
Hey, Paul Wharton.
I missed you.
Oh, my God, I missed you, too. Can you believe it? God, it feels like, doesn't it feel like eternity since we were, like, together?
It really does.
We
but
can
I
never
saw you
do
at
that
Fox,
again.
But I still missed you here.
I know.
This is when we really get to be ourselves here.
We do really get to be ourselves. I was away up in Maine visiting my family, which was great. We did have one little drama moment, which I texted you about for my niece.
You did. I felt so bad. What happened?
Oh, my God. It was so sad. So, you know, I have an 11-year-old niece, and she lives with my brother now. And my brother just got primary custody of her about a little over a year ago, right?
Okay.
So she now lives with him, and, you know, she's going to a whole new school and all this stuff. And so for the first time she was going to have a little Maine birthday party with her friends, her little friends from school.
Okay.
So I do have to say, I think this was more my brother's error than it was the kids, because my brother is very fired up. He's ready to disown and, you know, confront these 11-year-olds.
Okay.
But I want you to tell me, I want you to tell me if you think it was my brother or if you think that actually, it was the kids.
Okay.
Okay. So basically, here's what happened. She was going to have a little birthday party on a Saturday. A week before that, my brother sends out invitations. So he gives people just a week.
Okay, that's a problem.
Okay, thank you. You tell, because my mom and I tried to tell him, and he did not. He felt like that was plenty
of
time.
I have three nieces. Those girls are booked, okay? I mean, I have to make an appointment to see them, to give them money. Like, I'm like, I just want to be your good gunkle, your good gay uncle.
Yeah.
And show up, and I gotta get on their schedule. So that's kind of a problem. So
okay, so there's one. Mm-hmm. On the invite, he does not put RSVP. So he never says to people, hey, let us know if you can make it, if you can't make it.
That's a problem.
The other thing, and he was like not having this, but he's a single dad, and, you know, he and my niece like live in their own place, but they wanted to have a birthday party sleepover. And my mom was like, I don't think that parents are going to be comfortable where you're new to town, leaving their kids overnight with you. And I think that you need to put on the invitation that her grandmother is going to be there if parents want to come, or if they have any questions or concerns, that they should come in and see us. Nope, my brother doesn't want to do that. What do you think? So, what
so your
do you
brother
think?
Is just hard of listening, huh? Yeah. He's not hard of hearing. He's hard of listening. Because your mom knows. Because she
my
raised
mom
you
knows.
Guys.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, there's a couple of things there that all that stuff is wrong.
So gets to Saturday. I go up on a Sunday. So the day before I get there, right? Her little birthday party starts. They make cakes. They're going to have a little cake decorating thing. And by the way, too, you know, it's like with anything that we have. You invite double the people because only half are going to show,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
He invites only 10 people, 10 little girls.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, that's a problem in the classroom, too. Because
that's
how do you
said.
Choose 10 little girls out of the 30 or whatever that are there?
He let my niece pick, and they were basically just the girls from her cheering squad. But they were not any of her girls really from her class or from any other activities.
Does he know the parents of the girls?
Some, but not all.
Because you can't invite kids to a sleepover if you haven't met the parents. That's what I think.
I think that's a really good, I think that's a really good idea. So anyhow, she has the birthday party. Nobody shows up.
Yeah.
So my brother.
Horrible.
Horrible, right? Oh my God. She was so upset. My brother said she was like really down. She called my mom. And so then my brother goes, okay, we're going to get you a puppy.
best birthday ever.
That's what she okay? said. So I get a phone call from my mom because I don't know if you know this about me. You have a dog, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so I'm not a huge pet person. Right?
You're not.
No.
I know that you don't like dogs, actually. Yeah.
And you know this. Did you know I grew up with mostly animals outside the house?
And they sleep outside, yeah.
Right, they sleep outside, mm-hmm. right? So the cats always were barn cats. The dog came in the winter when it was really cold, but otherwise, like, never really came in the house. Okay?
So you didn't cuddle with your dog and all that?
No, none of that. So I like dogs, and I'd say as I'm getting a little older, I have a soft spot. And this dog that they got, whose name is Quinn, this little puppy.
Oh, my God.
And she's a little shelter dog. And she's like a half wiener dog, half like miniature pincer.
Aww.
Oh my God, she's so cute. So I have to tell you, she's really good. She actually house trained like within a couple days.
Wow.
So then my niece said, best birthday ever. We had a little birthday party for her. It was all good.
Reversal of fortune. I love it. I love that. You know, I cannot watch a TV show where things start going wrong for the person. I have to turn it off. Like,
I feel the same way. Yeah, actually, I almost had to give up. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
No, I don't.
Okay, that show got so to the point mm-hmm. that, like, everybody you liked or that was good was being killed off. Mm-hmm. And the people that you wanted good to happen never did. I just couldn't. I had to stop.
I can't watch. I need for something good to happen to good people.
Oh, my God, me
and
too.
And your niece hit the jackpot.
She really did. Oh, my God. She loves the dog. And
so now, what's the tea, though? What is the real deal, the reason why those kids didn't show up? Because I can see not staying over, the parents not allowing their kids to have a sleepover, but you still show up for cake and ice cream.
Well, okay. I mean, this is like on top of your Grey Gardens mm-hmm. story, which okay. we'll get to an update yes. on that. But my brother felt very slighted and that maybe they weren't showing up because she's mixed race. But
ooh.
I'm like, I think that's a
all hard... right. Let's talk about it. All right. Somebody came to work today. You wanted a podcast? You're going to get a podcast.
But I said to him, I don't think you can say that because there's a lot of other mixed race kids.
Are there?
Well, there's not a lot. I mean,
okay.
it's Maine. There's
you see
not
how we're
a
getting
lot.
To the truth? All I have to say is, are there? And then that, well, maybe I overspoke. No, but really, what is
maybe
what's
like,
the lay of the land there?
I'm going to say there's maybe 120 students in her school, which is, I think, like first grade to eighth grade or something.
Oh,
maybe it's 150.
That's it?
Yeah, I could be wrong, but okay, let's see.
So how many kids are in her class?
30, 35.
30. And that's the whole?
That's the whole fifth grade class.
The whole fifth grade class
whole
is only 30.
Fifth grade class,
okay.
Yeah. 30, 40 kids. So I'm going to say there's like 25 kids mm-hmm. in the school that are either Hispanic, black.
In the whole school. So in her class, is she the only black kid?
I think there's an Asian girl. And then there's another girl who's like, she's mixed. So
okay.
I know that there's those three girls. But that might be it. That might be it.
Well, I
what
can't
do you think?
Necessarily say that. That is the case because, as you know, but I haven't told these people yet, but as you know, my experience led me to believe that Grey Gardens encounter was racist.
Well, and the craziest part was when I got to Maine, I don't think my brother had listened to the podcast, but all I could think about was that story of when you were little, when you were like 12 or 13, and the white friend that you had, the mom, you'd mm-hmm. always have to stay outside while the other kids went in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God. You know, and it's hard for me because I don't want to believe that that would be the reason.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. How do you know?
I mean, I don't know, but what kind of person is your brother, though? Is he the kind of person where if the other parents met him, they'd be like, oh, we love that guy. He's great.
Yes.
Oh, he is.
But
okay.
I would say Seth is becoming more, like, Seth and I were always twins growing up, really.
Okay.
And I was always the super outgoing twin that, like, Seth always hung out with my friends and wanted to hang out with my friends, and my girlfriends loved Seth. And, you know, like, he was, and, you know, he had a couple of guy friends in high school, but that was it. He wasn't, like, super, super Mr. Social,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Okay.
Now, as he's getting older, he is. But I would say, like, my mom will always say to him, and he doesn't want advice from my mom, but she's like, you were saying, you got to go meet those parents.
Sure.
You got to go call them. I don't think he's really done that. I think with a couple parents, but not like everybody.
Well, my sister and I had the same kind of situation. My birthday is October 16th. Hers is October 14th. And my whole childhood, we're born 2 years and 2 days apart. She's older. My whole childhood, we would have a joint birthday party on the 15th, like we were twins. And I secretly thought that my parents did that because they didn't think kids would show up to my birthday party.
Really?
I did. Because, see, I kind of came out, you know, in a couple of ways, like later in life, you know, like my later teens, and then I became kind of like a little bit more popular, and then I became an adult, and then I thought I was all that or whatever. So, and that's how I am the way I am today.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but in the early days, like I had to tag along with my sister's friends, and she kind of yielded her power was her friends. So if she was feeling me that day, I could go. And if not, I couldn't.
Yeah. Okay, I kind of did that to Seth. Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Now, are you older?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so I'm the older one.
I love it.
I think he just hasn't gotten, and like he finally joined Odyssey the Mind, which is like this group where the kids kind of get together and build something scientific, you know, and then they have like a competition at the end of the year or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's getting more involved in the school, but he was so fired up. He's so fired up at the kids. He's so fired up at the parents.
That'd be tough.
But my mom was like, look, it's your fault. You got to, you know, you should have done X, Y, Z. And so I don't know. What do you think? And I also think a sleepover is tough. I mean, I think if he'd just had an open, like, hey, it's a barbecue, and invited her cousins and friends, she would have had people.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, you
got to
start with the family and then add a few friends in. Especially in a place like Maine, where there's only 30 or 30 kids in her whole fifth grade class.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not a lot of kids.
Exactly.
Yeah, not a lot of kids.
And a lot of them were sick.
Are they all spread out where they live?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, like, you've got, there's no, like, walking to a friend's house. Like, you got to get in the car, drive.
Wow.
And, you know, all these kids have siblings, and I don't know, maybe I'm making excuses for the kids. Are the kids assholes?
I don't know.
What do you think?
Maybe they're a little, maybe they're assholes, but the best thing is she got a puppy.
I know.
She got what we all wanted as a kid, a puppy.
Yeah, exactly. She got the puppy.
That's amazing.
So anyway.
So she's all right.
There's my story. Yes, she was totally fine.
Okay.
Totally fine. I mean, I hope. I don't know. Maybe this will really fuck her up later. She'll be on a podcast in 10 years telling
right.
I remember when no one showed up. I don't know. Do you think that really affects you? Or do you think in a couple of years you totally forget because the puppy, I don't know.
I don't know. It probably makes she and her father even closer. So I'm good with that.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh, there's
mm-hmm.
a happy ending. Anyway,
yeah.
All right. Tell me what, I want to know what's going on with you. We have so many updates. Ooh. By the way, thank you guys for being patient with us. We moved from Podomatic to from Podcast One to Podomatic. There was a delay in getting us on iTunes. When I checked on my phone today, episode 180 is up on your iTunes app. So download us. And leave a review. Hit subscribe, leave us a review.
We love it. We love it.
So we're all set on that. But the last time you and I talked, it was like OMG mind blowing.
OMG. Okay, so if you listened last week, I talked about my experience in 2013. I was living in New York City. A friend of mine that was married to the owners of Grey Gardens, the house at Google it if you haven't seen the documentary or the HBO
it's
film.
It's amazing.
Right? With Drew Barrymore and Jessica Lange. But anyway, so they invited me to Grey Gardens, and when I got there, there was a change in plan, and I wasn't allowed in the house. So I spent the last 4 years thinking that I wasn't allowed in the house because I was black.
Right.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, I cursed those people out.
Well, and it did kind of seem like that from the text message and everything. Mm-hmm. It seemed very odd.
It seemed a little odd, right?
Yeah.
So it turns out that when we recorded the podcast last week, I felt the need to email the lady, and this is a very public person that owns this house, okay? Like, powerful DC person.
Oh, I know. I was like, when you were telling the story, I was just
I can tell you, Sally Quinn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Married to Ben Bradley. Ben Bradley passed a few years ago. But anyway, so I emailed her. I was at my office, and literally 3 minutes later, the person at the front desk calls and says, Mr. Wharton, Sally Quinn's on the phone. And I'm like, well, that was fast. Best conversation ever. You know, you had asked me the three lessons I've learned in business, and one kind of crosses over between business and personal. Communication is really key.
Yeah.
Even sometimes things that are uncomfortable, you got to put it out there. You got to talk about it.
Yes.
And get to the bottom of it. Well, anyway, Sally broke down in me. She went right into it. Paul, I'm so happy you called me because, in all fairness, she did email me after that incident.
Okay.
She emailed me, but I kind of didn't really even read the whole email because I was too hot. At the time.
Sure.
Do you know, like, oh, fuck you, I'm not reading your email. You wanted to talk to me, you should have let me in your house.
Yeah.
That's the way I felt at the time. So anyway, Sally and I had this conversation, and she said, look, there was a lot going on. My daughter-in-law did a photo shoot at Grey Gardens. The pictures went everywhere. They weren't, you know, they were a little bit racy, the pictures.
Ooh, there's something else to Google.
All right. And I knew about all that. When she said, you know, there was a lot of house guests, my husband was sick, like all this was going on. She says, I did not know that that was you outside. I didn't know who was outside. She said, I knew that you were on the way, and I didn't even say that you couldn't come in. I just, my daughter-in-law knew from my reaction, I just wasn't feeling it. Like, no more house guest.
Got it.
She said, but had I known it was you, or, you know, if I had just had some time to cool down, I just found out as you were just down the road that you were coming in. So anyhow, I really chose to believe her.
Yeah, I believe her.
I
think that's good.
And I think pretty much, I mean, it was my experience from my childhood led me to believe that, you know, I couldn't get into the house because it was racist. So at the end of the conversation, she said, look, the house is for sale. And if you Google it, it's for sale for almost $20 million.
What?
Right?
Oh, my God.
Great Gardens is for sale, almost $20 million. Or you can rent it for the summer for like $200,000. Like, oh, you know, neither one of those things will be happening for me.
Okay.
But she said, listen, it's for sale. Before I sell it, why don't you take a weekend this month and go up and have a weekend at Great Gardens?
Oh, my God. How did this story go from that to you getting... This is amazing. Now you're going to Great Gardens.
I'm going to Great Gardens. And let me tell you something. I haven't cleared this with her, but I'm shooting a documentary. The Return to Great Gardens. I am wearing that little Edie shit on my head. I am wrapping my head up. I'm borrowing a mink coat. I am walking in that garden. Let me tell you, I will make money off of this.
You got to film this whole thing, too, for your memoir. Because when your memoir is out, you can do a behind-the-scenes video of your return.
Oh, honey, trust me. Every step I take will be recorded in Great Gardens. The only thing is, I heard it was haunted.
What?
I heard it was haunted. I heard that Little and Big Edie are still roaming around.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What do you think about that?
I think that's terrifying. What do they do? Like, do
I'm
they
going.
Just open some doors
or
what?
Look, we're going to have to look.
I want to go with you.
I'm coming.
I'll go with you in a heartbeat. We can do a live podcast
from
Frank
Gardens. I think we should.
How amazing would that be?
Awesome, right?
Yeah, please.
So, happy ending to the story.
Paul, that's incredible.
It has me wanting to work out a lot of other issues in my life.
Really? Like what?
Well, I mean, you know, my perception on that. I mean, just things that I've been caring about different people, you know.
Like how they've reacted to you or how
things that just haven't been discussed. I'm like, okay, you know what? That person's a son of a bitch. That's an asshole. I'm never speaking to them again, but I never really talk about it with them.
Right.
Because I kind of came up with this thing a few years ago where I just said, you know, it's better for me. I don't have to tell you that I'm not messing with you anymore. Do you know? I used to want to get to the bottom of things and say, you know what your problem is? Let me tell you what your MF problem is. And I used to do that with people. I used to want to do that all the time. And then I got to the point where I just said, why is it important for me to tell them that I'm not dealing with them anymore?
Right.
Unless I want them to fight for the relationship. If I don't want them to fight for the relationship, just let them go.
Yeah.
If you're ready to walk away, you just walk away.
Isn't that so hard?
But sometimes you walk away like I walked away from Grey Gardens. And for the last 4 years, I've been thinking a certain way about these people.
That's so good. It is true because you can, in your mind, create, you know, just a misperception of what they're thinking. And I do have to say, maybe you found this, but I have learned, I think when people, I don't know, have like a reaction like that, right? Where it was like, you're not allowed in. Whenever people have extreme reactions, I always do think that there's something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like when somebody tells you off, or like when somebody, you know, people I've worked with in business, or, you know, co-hosts or whatever, I always feel like there's definitely more going on, because when you really are balanced, you handle people, you know what I mean? Like, so without ease.
Well,
you know,
I got to tell you, I had a pop-off moment, and I always feel bad about this. I always feel bad.
When did you have this? Okay.
So, on Monday morning, I did two segments on Fox 5. One was the recap of Omarosa's wedding, which I'll share.
Oh, I know. I want to hear that, because the last time we talked, I wasn't sure that you guys had made up, or I think there was something
going on.
Okay.
We're solid, but I wasn't so sure about how I felt about going to the Trump International Hotel. I really wasn't.
Oh, yes. Did you go?
I walked in there like I was like...
I'm going to be honest with you. The lobby is gorgeous.
Let me tell you something. The lobby is gorgeous, but if you look real close, if you like, you know, clear your eyes. No, it's the damn people.
Oh.
The people are scary as shit, okay? I've never seen so many John Deere hats in one place. John Deere hats, like red noses And, like, you're sitting at the bar drinking beer, and I'm just kind of like, why are they drinking beer in this fabulous place? So it's a little weird.
That's so
great. If he didn't own it, I'd be there every day.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, but yeah.
So I don't want to start my beef with her back up again, so I'm not going to dog him out too much right now. But we had a really, really, really great time. Yeah, I mean, it was.
I know there was something.
Oh, at Fox.
Yes.
Oh, my pop off.
Your pop up. I want to hear that.
So Monday morning, I was going to Fox 5, and I have everything timed out. So where I park my car is like maybe 2 blocks from my house because there's no parking in my building.
Sure.
So I have a reserved space that's in an alley, and there was a furniture truck blocking me in, with no driver. He has flashers on. He was blocking me in. So I was cool, but everything was timed out because my hair and makeup people are up at the station at 9. They were up there at 8:30. It was 8:50, and I still had to drive from downtown all the way up to Fox.
Oh, God. Okay.
Right. And Charisse was up there, so we did Housewives recap, and we did Omarosa's wedding recap. Anyhow, so I go to the buildings right around there. Excuse me.
Yeah.
You know, do you know whose truck this is?
Hello.
You know, and then nobody knew. The guy next door at that other building, he didn't know. Then I call the company on the side of the truck. Hi. You know, the voice starts getting a little deeper. Hi, this is Paul Wharton speaking. And there's a truck blocking me in. I've got to get where I'm going. Can you please have someone move this truck? Well, this isn't the dispatch office. This is... I'm like, look, call somebody to get down here. To make a long story short...
I love how the voice gets deeper.
The voice gets deeper. So I'm just about to, like... call myself an Uber, but I need my car for the rest of the day. Like,
sure.
I had stuff in the car. I needed my car. So finally, I feel the sweat. I'm like, oh shit, I'm sweating. Then I'm mad about that. I'm like, I just got my hair done yesterday. I'm sweating. This is not good. So the guy finally comes out, and I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here, man. I mean, I just went crazy in this moment.
You lost it on
acted
this
a
guy.
Fool. I mean, just for a second. But I didn't have to tell the guy I had to get the fuck out of there. He was moving the truck. Like, why did I let myself go there?
What did he say to you? Did he tell you to just,
like... No, because he knew he was wrong, because the truck was blocking me in for, like, almost 30 minutes.
So, oh, but you feel bad about that moment now?
I feel bad because there was a lady that was standing out there that was unloading a truck. And then I apologized to the woman. I'm like, I'm sorry I had to go through that. She's like, oh, I totally understand. But
well,
I didn't have to pop
there.
Off.
Oh, I wouldn't feel terrible about that. Sometimes, I do know what you mean. I feel like that too.
And can I tell you one other small thing?
Yeah.
This guy told me to get my shit together the other day. Yeah. Because I was walking across the street from the Emancipation, you know, the big Emancipation event. We had a big Emancipation event down on the mall.
Yes.
That acknowledges the day that Abraham Lincoln emancipated the slaves early here in Washington, D.C. So there was a big event, and I went down to it after Omarosa's wedding.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So there was two police officers directing traffic, and I needed to go on the other side of the street, and they wanted me to walk around and like, go in the crosswalk. And I was like, but I'm going right there. And like, right there. And then I just kind of was like, oh, like that.
Yeah, and then what did you get
my
off?
My feet hurt. You know, my feet were hurting. So anyway, so the guy was like, man, I see you on Fox 5 in the morning. You need to get your shit to go. Out here acting a fool. I was like, okay, God damn.
Do it again, that was so good.
He's like, man, I see you on Fox 5 in the morning. You need to get your shit to go. Out here, you a public figure. Out here talking about you want to walk that way. You need to walk the way we saying, man. I was like, okay, goddamn. You didn't have to read me in front of all these people. So, you know, it ended up being funny.
Oh, my God.
But I was just kind of like, that man told me to get my shit together and stop acting a fool. Out here, I'm a public figure. Get my shit together and go on the crosswalk.
Oh, my God. You are so funny. I don't even... Your accents actually should be a whole thing. That's a good name.
So I got my shit together and walked in the crosswalk. What about my business?
Oh, my God. That's hysterical.
So I got to stop my pop-off.
Do you feel the pressure now? Are you feeling the pressure now? I don't know. That's so hard to do.
Well, you don't really pop off that much, though, right? I do little bits of pop-offs, though. Just little bits.
I try not to. But I do get... Yeah, sometimes I do.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, we've been talking a lot about, because, you know, this is therapy for me.
Oh, my God, I love it, yes.
This is therapy. So I've been talking a lot about, you know, my childhood and different things that have happened. And I think that my pop-off and the lowering of the register, and then when it gets like that, you know.
Yeah.
That comes from me really having found my voice and my confidence earlier in life, you know, from a time where I had to, when I needed to defend myself, I just didn't, because I was like young and, you know, I was easily bullied.
Yeah.
And because I had that experience, I think that when I go into the pop-off, it's almost, I feel like, wait, let me just set you straight right now before you start this.
Right. Almost like remembering the time when you didn't, so now you feel like you want to stand up for yourself? Like, is that kind of the thing?
Exactly. Like, I want to have a great experience with everybody.
Right.
But as soon as I see it going left, I'm like, okay, you aren't going to take me down that road. Let me get you straight real quick.
I love your honesty. I do feel like I used to be more like, I would more pop off on people. But mindful living therapy did change my life. Mm. That really did. Because when I was saying, like, people's reactions to you are usually just a reaction of what's going on in themselves.
Okay.
Like, that's usually what I find. Like, if somebody starts yelling at me or really aggressive or whatever, I'm always just like, okay, I'm going to just react in calm. Because whatever is going on with them is probably the way they're acting is a reaction of something that's happened to them.
Well, I didn't really think about that. I mean, I thought about exactly what you're saying the other day, because at Omarosa's wedding, there was all this press.
Yes.
And I took Charisse, Housewife of Potomac Charisse, as my date.
I saw you in Daily Mail. There was a picture of you. You looked fabulous. You looked so good. Gorgeous blue velvet jacket. Oh, my God. You looked
nines. So speaking of that, they thought that Charisse was Niecy Nash, the actress. Did you see that?
No, yeah, I did. And I was like, God, way to do your fact checking.
Exactly. So there was another website called The Shade Room, like on Instagram, that reposted that, that said, oh my God, they mistook Charisse for Niecy Nash. When I looked at the comments on there, just quickly, the people are so rude. I mean, they are just...
Oh, I bet. What did they say about you?
Oh, they just called me every name in the book. I mean, just... You know,
who's this woman with the hair?
Right. They were like, when your friend borrows your wig for a selfie. I mean, just all kind of shit. That guy needs a side swept bang. I mean, just everything you could possibly imagine.
And that's when
imagine.
You go on The Shade Room. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much. This is why I'm on this Instagram feed with 2 million followers and you fuckers aren't.
Right.
So,
it really made me think of something, because I didn't get mad about that.
We're going to do mindful living.
What it made me think about is hurting people hurt others.
Oh,
okay?
Totally.
Hurting people hurt others. And I don't know if I've heard that somewhere before, but as I was, because I didn't go deep. I only looked at a couple that I saw, like, and then I just turned it right off. I mean, who wants to do that to themselves? I'm not trying to ruin my own day. I've got a good life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to have a good day.
Yes.
But it came to me, hurting people hurt others. And I thought, wow, okay, I can see why so many people are stuck. Because I don't feel that I would spend that much time and energy. And I really do think about how my pop-offs, okay, in that way, are going to affect somebody else's day.
Oh, that's really good, Paul. That's, like, really conscious.
Yeah, yeah. It's helping me to be a bit more centered, definitely. Because I don't want to ruin someone's day.
Oh, my God. It's so true. And whenever people hate on me or anything, I always feel like you're doing something right. Mm-hmm. Because if people aren't compelled to tweet you or comment good or bad or give you a thumbs down on YouTube.
Your
wallpaper.
Right.
Exactly. You are wallpaper.
Cute, but I'm not talking about it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, you always want to get people talking. But I completely agree. And mindfulness just got me to the point of, like, whatever people want to say. And, you know, I mean... I get messages all the time, like, oh, hey, you know, whatever, you're an attention whore, and you're this, and you're that. I know. I'm like, okay. I mean, for you to take the time to email me that,
sure.
There's something going on with you, right?
Well,
because who takes the time?
Someone posted on Facebook the other day, and then they had the nerve to tag me in one of the comments. Does anybody care that Omarosa got married this weekend? Like, they motherfucker, you posted. Oh, excuse me. Can you bleep that? Because I told myself I'm not going to curse. You took the time to post it, so I guess you do care.
That yeah.
Does anybody care? Okay, let me get this straight. So you're gonna post up on your status. Does anybody care? And then there was 1,000 comments saying that no, we don't care.
Oh my God, please.
Well, you certainly did take a lot of time to do that.
I care that that Kid Rock is engaged and not to me.
Oh my God, what is going on?
I have an obsession with Kid Rock. I just want to make out with him once.
Ooh. Isn't that how Pam Anderson got Hep C?
No!
Oh, no?
She had that before.
Oh, okay.
She had that before.
Did she give it to him?
I think so. I think she got that from Tommy Lee.
Okay.
But, no, there's something about that Kid Rock that just really, I don't know. It's
you
amazing.
Would, you would,
oh,
like,
my God,
risk
so
the
high.
Hepsi?
Absolutely.
Allegedly,
so
supposedly, okay.
So tell me this, though. Yeah. How did it come about that you and Omarosa, that you went to the wedding? How was it? You know, has she, did she mention our podcast that she'd like to come back?
No, we didn't get a chance to talk about the podcast.
Oh, you're kidding. On her big wedding day, she wasn't thinking about this?
No, she wasn't. But I tell you, first of all, you know, the friendship that I have with her goes back, I think, 13 years we've been friends.
Wow. That's I didn't realize it was that long.
That's a long time. So I guess she did Celebrity Apprentice. Was it 2003 or 4?
Oh,
I mean, excuse
God,
me, the original Apprentice, 2003 or 4. Anyway, that's how long we've been friends. Right after she did that is when we met. So you get mad, you curse each other out. And let me tell you, during this campaign, we have cursed each other out like no, not one. I mean, my pop off times 1,000. I mean, I called her every B, every MF, every, and she called, I mean, we went, but to each other, to each other.
All this because of the tension of her, you know,
sure,
working for the Trump administration.
And me feeling like she wanted me to make her choices my choices.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, you can't expect that.
So, having said all that and having expressed how we felt, and communication is key, even when you calling a bee out her name. You know what I mean?
You gotta keep talking.
You gotta talk through it.
Yeah.
So we kind of worked our way back to it. I mean, there was a part of me that was a little salty she didn't ask me to be in her wedding.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the last kind of thing I had heard or whatever.
She didn't ask me to be in her wedding. I mean, she did have a slightly traditional type wedding, like all female bridesmaids. And there's a certain kind of people that mix it up now.
Yeah.
And I felt she's that kind of person that would have done that. But also she's marrying a pastor. And you know what? I can't make what I would do just the same way I don't want her to make her choices mine.
Right.
I can't tell her how to run her wedding.
Right.
You know?
That's fair. That's good.
So we kind of had to come to Jesus. There was a big heart connection. She invited me to the rehearsal dinner. We went bowling at the White House and did that whole thing. And that was the night before her wedding. And the next day, it was very early. Charisse came down to meet me. We showed up, walked into Trump. It was absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, I bet.
She had a whole cherry blossom theme wedding. It was just really, really nice. And 9 bridesmaids. And by the way, I got the best gifts for the bridesmaids. Okay. I decided, oh
that's your private jet.
That's the jet. Just when I'm trying to connect with the people, the goddamn
just
jet notification.
I'm trying to connect.
I want them to like me.
What a problem. People love you. Oh my God.
Do they know what that is by now?
Yes, okay. Everybody does. I mean, that's a circle. That's going to be another, like, tone of ours.
Yeah, I got it.
I should call Teddy Beats and have him put that tone in the new intro. We're doing another new intro. That's
going to
be in there.
We absolutely should.
I got to record that.
Exactly. So, where was I?
Okay, so you got the bridesmaids, the best gift.
The bridesmaids. Okay, so I decided, you know, Omarosa, like, what can I get her for her wedding? And I talked to her about it, and she was like, well, I'm looking for, she says, what I need to do is find the best gift for the bridesmaids. And I said, you know what, for your wedding, I'm going to give you all the gifts for the bridesmaids.
Oh, fun.
And I told her to send me the pictures of the wedding dresses, and so I called up my people at Mervis, Diamond Importers, who we love, you know, we're going to be doing some work with. And I just thought, well, why don't I get them all earrings, matching earrings?
Oh, great idea.
So
oh
I had my
God.
Oprah moment.
Wow.
Do you remember during the Oprah, she had that big ball a few years ago?
Yeah,
the
didn't
Legends
she give
ball.
All the women?
She gave all the Legends drop diamond earrings, and she gave all the youngins, people that were like 50 and under, diamond hoops, of course. So I'm not Oprah. So I got them cultured pearls. I'm not Oprah, right?
Not yet.
So my Legends ball or Omarosa's wedding, I got them all pearl earrings, and they loved them. They looked beautiful.
Oh my God, I bet they were stunning.
They were stunning, and Omarosa loved them. So she had 9 bridesmaids, 8 groomsmen, countless flower girls, and like 2 ring bearers, and it's so cute. After the whole wedding party walked down, 2 little boys came running down the aisle with a bell. The bride is coming!
Aww.
The bride is coming! So right around that time, Phaedra walks in from
really?
Housewives of Atlanta.
I didn't even know they were friends either.
Right. So Phaedra walks in. She sits right. It says me, Charisse, and Phaedra sat right next to her. Little icy to Charisse at first, to
really?
Be honest with you. Yeah. I was kind of surprised.
Me too, because I would think they would have obviously housewives in common.
Kind of like, you're the new girl on the block.
Oh.
You know, there's been that news about Phaedra maybe not returning to the show, maybe being fired.
That would be why.
So it's kind of like, your season just started, and I just got my pink slip. I'm not saying that she did. I don't know if she did or not, but word on the street is she's not coming back for season 10. We'll see. She was actually quite enjoyable. Later, she warmed up to Charisse. She was very nice to me.
Well, I have the best Phaedra Parks story ever,
you
right?
You do?
Yeah. You know, back when I was working for Hot 99.5 in the Kane Show, you know, Phaedra is an attorney.
Yeah.
So she used to represent Bobby Brown. And one of the first sort of big stunts that we did on Hot 99.5 was when Bobby Brown, remember when Bobby and Whitney were still married and he'd gone to jail like for the 20th time or whatever? Mm-hmm. And this was the time when I think Whitney refused to bail him out.
Okay.
Like, he had no money. Supposedly they were going broke. So we decided that we would bail Bobby Brown out.
Yeah.
Yep. And he would have to co-host the show with us for a week. So Phaedra was his attorney. And he was like, yes, 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 I'll do it. And Phaedra was like as sweet as could be on the phone. As sweet as could be. Yes, yes, yes.
Before y'all sent the check.
Right. Before
how
we
do
send
I know
the
this?
Check. We send the check, uh-huh. And then he decides he's not coming. The day he's supposed to show up and start co-hosting, he doesn't show. But they've taken the money.
Out?
Yes.
Oh
yes. We bailed him out. So we gave him the money. He was bailed out of jail. He gets out of jail. And then he's supposed
how
to come.
How much was it? Do you remember?
$22,000.
Okay.
He was supposed to come immediately to Hot 99.5 and co-host with us. No show. Oh, my God. So I just remember we got Phaedra on the phone, and she was like, I'm really sorry. Like, I can't really control my client. Like, this is all off air. Like, completely different than what you see on Housewives. Not confident at all as an attorney. Like, I've really tried to get a hold of him. You know. I don't even really have his number. Like, all this crap.
Really?
We get Bobby Brown on the phone. He's an absolute asshole on the phone. We went live with him on the phone. We were like, why aren't you here? I don't know. You know, a complete dick. Like, all these excuses,
God.
All this stuff. Like, he wasn't going to come. And then, you know, we
Bobby!
Just basically... Bobby!
Bobby!
Bobby! Yeah, we basically just, like, shit all over him. And then she, like, went back and forth with the attorneys at iHeart and ended up having to write it. You know, they had to give the money back. And Bobby Brown never showed.
Wow.
Yeah. But she was so different than what you see on... So that's why whenever...
Timid, you say?
Oh, my God, timid, like, apologetic, like, didn't really even know her client. I mean, completely.
She's Southern. And she said that the other day. She said it at the reception because someone was like, you know, are your kids, like, spoiled from having the cameras around? She was like, oh, I'm Southern. I don't play that shit. She said that at the table.
Well, it's always interesting because when I watch Housewives and they always say there's two Phaedras, I'm like, there's definitely two Phaedras.
Okay.
Because the one that we dealt with was completely, like, did not seem competent, you know, didn't, oh, my God. It
wow.
was amazing. Now, again, that was like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was like our first year on, you know, the Kane Show. So it was like years and years ago. But
honey, like Cyndi Lauper said, money changes everything. Money.
Money changes everything. Well, we have a million stories to talk
yes.
about. I mean, I don't even know where you want to go next. You want to talk about the United story? Do you want to talk about now neuroscientists are saying there's going to be a love pill that you
okay.
can take to keep you in love with your significant other?
Let's talk about United since everybody's talking about that right now.
So what's your take? You know, the latest on it this morning is now United's come out. They're going to reevaluate. The CEO's come out and apologized again. And, of course, I'm sure you read this, but the guy that was hauled off mm-hmm. of the plane... did have a criminal record, so he was convicted of exchanging drugs for gay sex.
Gay sex?
Yeah, a while ago.
Oh, that changes my mind. Well, I've got to come to his defense now.
Oh, okay, you weren't. Actually, because I wasn't going to defend him. I think this is ridiculous.
No, I'm not going to defend him either.
Anyway, his Dr. David Dow, and he was charged in 2005 with 98 felony drug counts for illegally prescribing and trafficking painkillers. Prosecutors claimed that Dow fraudulently filled prescriptions of hydrocodone, Oxycontin, and Percocet. He was convicted on 6 felony counts of obtaining drugs by fraud and deceit in 2005. Dow was also convicted of writing prescription and checks to a patient in exchange for sex.
I thought it was a woman, though, that he was writing those.
Oh, maybe it was. Hold on. Maybe did I just...
Yeah. I don't think he was gay sex.
Are you sure? Okay, wait, I gotta Google this. I could have sworn
now,
it was with a guy.
Apparently, he didn't have his license for 10 years, right? His license was revoked
correct.
In 2005, and
yep.
he got it back in 2015.
Yes.
Which kind of makes sense for how much he really needed to get back.
Okay.
Because they said he was trying for years to get his license back. And he was like, I have to see patients. I want to go home. I want to go home. I want to go home. You saw that, right?
Oh, right, right, right.
He's so like, that, yeah. I can't be late for work. I can't miss my job. You know, I just got this job good.
Okay, well, that would explain it, why he needed to get back. Does that make you have more empathy?
Let me tell you something. This is what I feel United should have done. Listen, everybody has a number. Everybody has a number. They offer those people $800. It's cost them $1.5 billion in their market share value.
Yeah, right. Their stock has plummeted by, like you said.
$1.5 billion as of today, and it'll probably go down more. $800 they were trying to offer the four people. Give the people, you know, I got 2,000 over here, 2,000, anybody, 2,000, 2,000, 2,000, first class, and then I got 3,000, 3,000, first class. Okay, oh, take it for 3,000, 4,000, 4,000, 4,500, 4,500.
Yeah.
You give the people $5,000, you throw money at the problem, and you gas that bad boy up, and you hit the road.
Yes.
You give them $5,000 and put them up at the Ritz-Carlton, they're getting off that plane.
Oh, my God. You know, I have two of my close friends work for United. I got to call them and get them live on this podcast.
Yeah.
To dish about it. They're not going to say anything anyway. They need their jobs.
They need their jobs, yeah.
I agree with you. I think they should have offered a lot more money. But at the same time, this is my thing, right? Because I'm sure you've been on flights like this. I've been on many flights lots of times where they overbook. And they essentially go, who wants to volunteer? Now, usually people always volunteer because you get a free ticket plus like enough vouchers to cover a second flight somewhere, right? So obviously that didn't happen. Then they decide they're going to do a lottery to pull you off. But this is my thing is like, at what point do people realize someone's got to get off that plane? Like,
sure.
Even though you've purchased a ticket, it's still not 100% your right to fly.
Right.
So that's the thing that to me is like, I don't know. I'm just like, why are people shocked? They have the right to remove you. So, and I know it was in a violent manner, so people...
Well, I'm as humble as pie when I'm flying, because I'm just like, whatever gets us all there...
mercy.
Whatever gets us there safest is, like, I'm down for that. You know, if you need to fly somebody else and I need to get off, of course I'd be pissed off, but I'd get off.
I mean, that's the thing. And by the way, Dr. Dow was convicted for writing prescriptions and checks to a male patient in exchange for sexual favors. This was in February 2005, and then he surrendered his license.
Did you see his wife, how she walked off all calm? She's probably like, yeah, he needed to get his ass beat. I'm still mad from 2005 when he was screwing that little boy. You know what I mean? Allegedly, supposedly, people.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. People are so wound up about it.
Now,
you're
wound
up about it, though.
He threw his face against the head. I mean, those guys were really intense with him. But he was also acting a fool. Unless he's got some mental health stuff going on, because that could also be.
Yeah, that's true.
But that was major. That was a major meltdown. My little pop-offs where I say F is like nothing compared to this.
I mean, I just feel like, I don't know. To me, what do people expect? Like, if nobody is surrendering their ticket. Although, I don't know. I guess from the airline's point of view, I agree with you. Why didn't they just keep upping the money, upping the money, upping the money?
Just up the money. Throw money at the problem. You got it. And these CEOs need to lay low. What's with these CEOs coming out with all these statements before they've talked to, you know, it's almost like Donald Trump tweeting. Sit your ass down for a second and let the PR people and the marketing people and the people that know about messaging do their work.
That's a great point. I think that there's, because you're a leader of the company, I mean, aren't you supposed to be the one that sort of has it all together and knows what to say? Even though we're all human and people don't. But, I mean, I think you're the leader, and that's why they pay you the big bucks, is when shit goes down, you're supposed to be the woman or the man that goes, I got this. I mean, they all fuck up all the time. I mean,
Sure, but some stuff is kitchen table talk. So, you know, some stuff you talk about in your office, you know, smoking a stogie and having you a little brown liquor on, you know, a couple of rocks. You know, with your other executive team. But that's not the message it goes to the public.
Right. Right. I agree with you. This guy should have really gotten with his PR team immediately. The CEO of United should have.
And I'm sure he did, but he just was, you know, he came out and he said what he wanted to say the way he wanted to say it. And I just think that, you know, right now, you just have to be a bit more careful.
Oh, I think you're right. And you know? I think his mistake was he came out and said one thing and kind of apologized or whatever half-heartedly. Then he writes his own internal employees an email basically saying, guys, you did a great job. You know, this is our policy. We stand by it, yada, yada. And then, you know, the stupid part was he didn't think that would be leaked. And, of course, everybody's got a disgruntled employee who goes, sure, I'll sell this to TMZ for $20,000 or whatever.
Absolutely.
So, anyway. So, overall, you think big mistake?
Overall, I think that the passenger was wrong. However, I don't think that his past should have anything to do with, you know, the fact that he was treated that way.
Yeah.
You know, people say, oh, well, he was convicted of this and he lost his license. So who gives a shit?
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what he did. He shouldn't have been treated that way. That was just too aggressive. It was too violent. And it was traumatic.
No, I totally agree with you. I love this story because I guess you're not going to ever be buying me a lottery ticket. No friendship.
God, I can't. I cannot.
I have to give a shout out to our listener, Tom Block. He sent me this story. He really loved it. But a guy was denied this week a $100,000 jackpot because his friend pushed the button at a casino in Florida. Jan Flatto says that he allowed his friend to hit the button on the slot machine, but he's the one that actually put the money in the machine. It was a $50 bet that turned into a $100,000 win. But when the casino went back and reviewed the camera, it was the friend, his friend, she hit the button, so they were like, no, she wins. She takes the money and they're no longer friends.
What?
Can you imagine? She didn't split it.
Are you kidding me?
As of now, as of the article that was posted this week, instead, the friend ended up walking away with the cash, which led to the end of their friendship.
Let me tell you something. Talk about looking over your shoulder. I mean, and if that ever happened to you and I... You better look. You better take that $75, that $100,000, and go somewhere.
You better be gone.
You better be gone, honey.
Can you imagine?
Because you think Nancy Kerrigan got it bad. I'd be coming for both your kneecaps.
No, what about this? What if it was somebody that you didn't really know? Okay. I don't know. It doesn't disclose in this article how close these two were as friends, right? But maybe it was somebody like you just gone for drinks with. You're at the MGM casino. And boom, they hit the thing. You guys aren't all that good of friends. Or maybe it's you. You hit the button, you get the $100,000, but it's just this guy who took you out on a date. Would you still split the money with him?
I would.
I would. Yeah.
Yeah, I would, because I don't want him looking for me. I mean, that's just it. I can't take the pressure of that.
But you said that you kind of have a thing, though. You don't buy anybody lottery tickets?
Hell no.
Why?
I can't, because I couldn't live if I bought a $1 or $2 lottery ticket and gave it to him. It's a fantastic gift, by the way.
You know, we always give each
phenomenal
other...
Phenomenal gifts. You do?
Christmas. Yeah. Oh, my whole family. We always give... My mom loves to gamble, and she loves scratchers. So every Christmas, we usually give her scratchers. We give my niece... My niece is getting into it. We
wow.
all do scratch.
But it's so tricky, because if you give it to the wrong person and they hit... Suppose you gave someone that's a friend, a casual friend, a $2... what's the big one called? The Jack... What?
Oh, I don't
the
know.
Big
what's
one.
The $2?
Irene, yeah. What's the big lottery call where you went all the
Powerball?
Oh, Powerball.
Powerball. Yeah, mega.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's $500 million or something.
Okay.
And they hit for the $500 million, and they take the payout of it, and they get $210 million, and you're, like, over there, like, you know, AT&T is calling you, talking about they want their money for your phone bill, you know.
Okay, I would be pissed.
Oh, my God, pissed.
I don't know how you get over that, actually. I mean,
I'd have to move to an ashram somewhere. I mean, I'd have to become, like, a Buddhist monk. Literally. I'd be like, shave my fucking head and shit me out one way. I cannot take it.
Oh, my God. That is really... I would only buy lottery tickets for somebody that I truly
yeah.
believed in.
Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. I should create a lottery game.
That's a good point.
That would allow the person that gives you the ticket to share in the winnings. That would be a really great game, because then people would be
That's
buying tickets for... So basically, if I bought you a lottery ticket, I might get 60% and you get 40 or something like that.
Whoever paid for it.
Whoever paid for
so
it gets
you
60.
Could grant people, you know, tickets, but the catch is the whoever paid for
win,
it, it's a 60-40 split.
Hey, or maybe 50-50, but
ooh,
I mean, I don't
idea.
Know, 60-40 would make me feel a little bit better.
That's a great idea. You know what?
Yeah.
You could start texting people. Like, they now allow you to text a Starbucks card to someone. You can now just text a lotto card to them. But catch,
that's
I get
60%. I'm going to do that. Watch
you
it.
Better write that
Watch
down.
Watch and see. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that's a great idea. All right, I'm torn between which story we should do. If we should do that, the pill that's coming out for love.
I'm interested in that pill.
I kind of want to talk about this, because this mom who's on Facebook with her biggest regrets about not taking photos of herself because of her weight, and then I want to talk about your weight.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm going through it.
I know. All right, well, here, we'll do the pill really quickly, just so people know it. Neuroscientists say now that they're going to have a love drug that will help you stay in love with your partner. Would you take it? What do you think, Paul?
Help me stay in love. You know what I've always fantasized about?
Hmm.
I've fantasized about having a pill that you can give to the one person that you really want to be in love with you. Now, that shit would be awesome, of course. My luck, I'd give it to that person, and they'd pop the pill and then, you know, catch a glance at some other bitch and be running down the street. You know what I mean? I'm like, that pill was for me. I saved my whole life to buy that pill. Right?
That's a good idea, too. It's not exactly that.
It's not the same thing.
No.
But just a pill to stay in love. Mm-hmm. What happens when it wears off, though?
So, well, here's what they say. First of all, this is from Oxford University, and the scientists there say that they're working with licensed clinical therapists and relationship therapists to develop this pill. But it should only be used in couples that are already in healthy relationships. But
okay.
Perhaps are going through like a lull, right? So things have, who knows, things have changed. Maybe you don't have a sex drive. Maybe you guys have been married 15 years and you're just not connecting the way you used to. It would have to be under some sort of therapy care. And it would only be a short-term fix, meaning like a year or something like that. That you would take it together, and it would help boost, it's oxytocin, it would help kind of boost those levels, and then once your levels started picked up after a certain level, they're kind of back up, and then you'd be weaned off the drug.
Okay.
So if you're already in like an abusive relationship or something, they don't,
so
you're not a
client. So what if someone got this pill that wasn't married, but they were dating someone for a long time, they fall deeply and madly in love with each other, even more so, they're like so attracted to each other. They get married, they have a baby, and when she gets pregnant, she can't take the pill anymore, and she hates her husband. She cuts his thing off in the middle of the night.
Wow, we've gone from extremes here. Okay.
I mean, okay. That could happen. I'm just saying.
Well, the scientists are saying that both couples have to take it together. So, like, if you and I are married, and I'm like, hey, I'm going through this period where I'm not so in love, we both have to take it. Even
no,
if you're
right,
in love.
But he would be in love with her, but see, she got pregnant. So she can't take the pill anymore.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And then she, like, you know, as she's getting, then she's gaining weight, and she can't see her feet. Everything's swollen, and she hates him. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that would work. But I mean, I'm all for love, so
I
whatever,
would take it.
Whatever
I would
gets
try
you
it.
There.
I mean, I
do
don't
you
know.
Need it?
No, not now.
How are you and Dan? What's the you and Dan update?
Oh my God, well, I got major ones. We just got into a big, not a big argument, but we just got into a discussion prior to coming to the podcast today. That Dan, and this is really good because Dan expressed his feelings, so I was super happy about this. We had a conversation a couple weeks ago about, have you ever watched this YouTuber called It's Judy Time? Mm-mm. She's adorable. She's like, she's this mom, but she started out as a beauty blogger, and now she's kind of like a mom vlogger, okay? So she's fun to just watch. Like, it's all a sneak peek of her family, and her husband comes on, and it's really real, like what we do. Very authentic, mm-hmm. just like, this is the highs and lows of our relationship, and this is what our kids are doing. And I said to Dan, like, I think that would be really fun when we had a family. Like, I would love to do, like, a once-a-week vlog of what's going on.
Sure.
And he was like, I don't think I'd be into that. And he was like, I think we would really need to set up some rules before we had a child. Of course, meanwhile, my IUD is like in my cervix. We're still having unprotected sex. So, oh, great. Perhaps you could have told me this before.
Right.
You know. So, anyhow, he says, yeah, I'm not sure I'd be comfortable with that. Like you putting our kid out on, you know, out for the public. Or monetizing our child, which to me seems like if I'm going to have a kid, I want it to pay its way through life.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, fire up the Huggies.
Does he know what private school fees go for now?
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I would just move to a better neighborhood. Speaking of private schools,
I would not do private. I would just go to a better neighborhood.
I'd go to a better neighborhood. They're going to public school.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you feel about that? I mean, so is this something you can, do you need the pill?
Yes, yes, today I need
you need the love pill to get over today. That?
Because I'm just like, I don't know. Here's my thing. Maybe you can answer this for me, because I don't know what the right answer is. I said to him, I said, to me, this conversation, because we come back to this conversation about what, like, sometimes he thinks I post too much, or he doesn't want to be on social media, or now it's like our, you know, future kids. But I said, to me, this comes down to one conversation. You either trust me, and you trust what I put out on social media, or you don't. And
sure.
I don't want to ask you permission every time I want to post my kids.
That's a deal breaker.
Kids. Oh, yeah, right. He was saying that I
does
keep saying
you?
Me. I don't think he trusts me when it comes to social media, no.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he does.
Does he have reason to not trust you? There's something we don't know?
Well, I mean, I think over the years I've put up impulsive things, but I usually stand by them. And, you know, sometimes I'm better now about firing off some tweets about things, you know, mm-hmm. and thinking it through. But there were a couple times, like, I fired off tweets about my former coworkers or whatever, and then people were like, you're so bitter, and yada, yada. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I am, so.
Well, I mean, those are just things that people go through in relationships. Those are conversations that are important to have. Usually you have them before your IUD gets lost in your cervix.
Yes, I know.
And you know, doing all the stuff that you do. Right?
Judging. Judge away.
I'm just mad.
Oh, no, I don't care. But I'm like, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like, do you think that people... You have to consult your significant other before you put up pictures or video. I'm like, I'm not going to post them naked.
I've never been good at that. And that's probably why I'm not in a relationship, because I'm not good at that. I've been doing my own thing for so long.
I know.
Like running a one-person kind of ship, and everything in my life is kind of, I do believe that let me take care of myself first and then I can best serve others.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
So I kind of really live like that. So I make sure I'm set and then I can do all that Paul Wharton shit, you know? And all that. But if I'm a mess and I have to be asking people's permission all over the place, then, you know, you won't like what you get on the other side.
I know. I agree with you. I just think, I don't know. I mean, I go
but
back and forth.
We need Dan. He's the great equalizer. He brings things, puts things into perspective.
Oh, I love him dearly. I just always think, oh, God, am I setting myself up for, you know, Bethany Frankel's relationship where, like.
Oh, geez. I didn't think about that.
Well, I mean,
Dan and your Jason Hoppy? Oh, my God.
I hope not. But then I think, you know, everybody starts out in love, right? And things are great. And then, like, you get divorced. You can't, like, put the kids on social media. Or, like, we fight about that all the time. I'm just like, can't you just, like, trust me and roll with it? Like, trust and roll.
So what if you really hit it big? I mean, hit it big, okay?
Yes.
National show, brand. Everybody's buying your stuff, buying your products. You're published author, New York Times bestseller.
Okay, I'm with you.
Do you think Dan would take you to the bank?
Well, probably, yeah. I think he'd think like he was owed half.
Half? Why probably. Is he owed half?
Well, I mean, Dan and I have sort of talked about this plan, right? That he would be the stay-at-home parent.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I don't ever want to be a stay-at-home parent.
Right.
I don't. Like, I would bring my kid to the studio. They can be here at the improv. Irene can watch him.
Right.
You know, but then...
As she waves.
That's
so cute.
But I'm not going to be a stay-at-home parent ever, or I just don't want to have a kid. It's not going to happen. And, like, if I have a kid on my own, I'll probably adopt. Like, I was saying to him, I want to go take an adoption class in Virginia or D.C. to find out what I need to do, how much it costs, like, what kind of kids need homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, you know, I would record that whole journey for this podcast and, like, our YouTube or Facebook page, you know?
Hmm.
And he wasn't really down with that. He's like, but what if the kid then sees that in a couple years and we haven't told them that they were adopted? I'm like, we're going to tell them that they're adopted from the moment we get them.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, I'm not going to hide that stuff. I mean.
So the problem I have with the whole paying the other person off is if you can't force someone to stay married to you, how can you force someone to pay you out? Do you know? Like, for you, it would be a perfect storm. You're out there making millions of dollars. He's staying home with the kids. One day he decides, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to play second fiddle to her, but I still want this lifestyle. And she is going to pay to keep me in the manner to which I have become accustomed.
I don't think there's anything you can really do to avoid it, even prenup, because it seemed like Bethany Frankel and Jason had a prenup, but he still walked away with like millions and lived in her $6.5 million, whatever.
$6.995.
Yeah,
she went at full price.
Yes.
Yeah, she went at full price.
So I don't think there's anything you can do. And I think once, especially the, I think if they help
don't
you.
Don't get married.
You don't could, get married.
I mean, that's the other thing.
I know. Oh, I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm a person that's too independent to be with somebody.
Could
so
you just
hard.
Have a kid and just stay together?
No, because he still doesn't want the kid on. He doesn't mind if the kid is on social media.
Oh, I'm just worried
sometimes.
About the money. Who's going to get the money? I just don't want, like, after we do all this work 10 years from now, and you're like, so.
Hey, Paul, can I come live with you? Yes, half my fortune is gone. I've got to downsize, and yeah, the Bentley has to go back.
Oh, my God.
I know. Wouldn't it be a sad day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just when I get the private jet notifications on
my
phone and it has to go away.
I'm scared.
Me too now. Maybe
if I had
too
to pay a guy
hungry.
Off, I would probably, I don't know, I'd be on that show Snapped on Oxygen. They'd be like, he was fine. Everything is fine. He was in Starbucks. I mean, he was great.
Oh, my God. I'll
he had
be
a
like
top
doctor.
Down in his car. He just drove right through the house and killed the guy.
I'll be like Dr. Dow, trying to pay him off with prescription pills
exactly.
and a hand job.
Exactly. Setting yourself up for a good lawsuit against an airline.
Yes, exactly.
Throw yourself against a headrest. No, an arm wrestling. Bust now, your mouth up.
Dr. Dow's got himself. He is like, he,
oh, he's
went
set.
Through, he is set. He went through 10 years of
drought.
He's
going to have all the little lady boys he wants now. I mean, it's like.
He really did have a strategy.
He doesn't need that lady anymore.
That wife is gone.
That wife, that doctor wife?
He must have saw that as an opportunity. He knew. He's like, get your cameras out, folks. I am not leaving
Honey,
without blood.
Did you see that video of the people in China that need to have a dash cam because the people jump on the hoods of the car?
What?
Did you see this?
I gotta Google this.
Oh, please okay. Google this, people.
China, dash cam. Is
pedestrian.
It fake accidents?
Yes.
Oh my God, this sounds amazing.
They jump on the hood. They will walk up to the car, jump on the hood. One guy banged his head on the windshield. Do you see it? Do you see it?
Yes.
Look, it is crazy. So I don't know where Dr. Dow is from, but you see this?
Yes. He literally, the car was parked. He was running in the middle of the street. Hits the car. Hits his head on the windshield wiper. Then rolls off.
And
the
then
vehicle.
Rolls off.
Yep.
And then they call for the cops to come.
Yes.
And then they call Johnny Cochran and them.
Oh my God.
Let me tell you something.
Insurance scammers, awesome part two. This is insane. Oh my gosh. Okay, keep going.
This is the breakdown for the setup to get your life together. All right. So that's what these people are doing. Now, Dr. Dow. A little suspect. I mean, it's kind of like the perfect storm. He's like, they chose me? What? Okay. Well, y'all about to get a show.
Oh, my God. This is epic. These people pretending to be run over. Here's a guy driving on a bridge. This guy runs out in front.
I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. Then she pretends that she's... Wow. Oh, my God.
So?
That is crazy. I had never seen this.
Dr. Dow. You're asking me to get off? You know what? No, I don't want to get off today. You want me to get off? Okay, you really want... He starts screaming. They tug him a little bit.
Oh, and that's it.
He bites that armrest.
Dr. Dow.
Blood is running everywhere. It seemed like almost he bit his tongue off. I mean, that was crazy. That blood was
everywhere.
Coming from the inside.
His face. Dr. Dow knows what it's like to be 10 years unemployed, so he was like, this is my
He's
moment.
He's like, this is my moment. He's going to get a payday.
So I feel like we need to discuss this because you are so gorgeous and you are so perfect.
You know what? I'm so sick of y'all lying to me. This is so... Let me tell you something.
What is going on
It was
with you?
80 degrees here yesterday, okay? Talk about a reality check, all
okay.
right? I'm going to dinner last night. You're going to think I'm crazy. I end up not going to the dinner. It was so warm outside. I looked outside, and this guy looked so cute. He was walking by with a little t-shirt on and shorts, and I was like, oh, my God, I have that outfit. So I go to my closet. I'm thinking I'm all cute. I take another shower. I'm super fresh. I smell like, just sandalwood and fresh flowers and, like, you know, maleness and femaleness and all that good stuff. Sex. I go to put on my little cute little outfit that I saw the guy wearing down the street. I put on the t-shirt. I pulled the shirt. I see a ripple over here. I see some back fat. I got a roll in front. I mean, what happened? Winter tricked the shit out of me. I thought I was cute. Let me tell you something. No, I've got to do something about this and quick. It's 80 degrees. I got to get myself together.
Oh my
I am
God.
Skinny fat. I am officially skinny freaking fat.
Okay, all right. I don't even know where to start because you look so good. And I
Thank
feel
you.
Like...
From the neck up, I do. I'm perfect. Let me tell
no.
you, I was squeezing. Don't look close because I will get mad and this podcast will have to go to commercial because me and you will be scrapping. Do not look at me close. Stop looking over here, okay?
Yeah, Paul,
stay on that side of the table.
Here's the thing. You have to... Have you always had
I'm
this
more
problem?
Than, I'm worth more than the, I'm not just the value of my looks. Is that what you're gonna,
well,
where
no,
you're going?
Well, no, I can empathize with you because I can't tell you how many dates I used to cancel and all this stuff because I felt like I was fat and I looked fat. So I would not go out with people and I would not go out on dates because I was like so uncomfortable. And that was the whole, you know, reason I got into mindful eating and living is because you can't, like, you're gonna take a picture of you today and you're gonna look at it 10 years from now and you're gonna sit there and go, oh my God.
Yeah.
Why didn't I go out for dinner?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I didn't go out for dinner because I was already late to start, and then I changed like 5 times trying to find an outfit that was, you know, temperature-wise cool, you know, so I would be cool temperature-wise. And then all the guys I was going out with, they're all like gym bunnies, you know? And I didn't want to sit there with, like, you know, looking like this skinny fat guy that came in and wasn't ready for the spring or summer. So I just stayed home.
Oh, my God. I feel home. Like I need to come up. Do you want me to show you my glove handles? You've got nothing on this.
You are so honest. Look at you.
It's just like...
Well, that's what look. It looks like about mine.
I know. Seriously, I take my clothes off now all the time. I don't care what I look like. I don't care.
No, but
I
you look good. Lose, like, you see you?
No, I look like I've already given birth and I have had one damn child.
No, you don't and because I don't you're care. Flat in the front. I mean, you have it on the sides.
Yes, I have love
see,
handles.
See, I have it more in the front.
And I am never doing anything about this. I don't give a damn. And I have stretch marks.
Okay, well, why are you judging me? Because I want to do something.
Because I don't care if you want to do anything. I just don't want you to spend one more day.
Idea, because to me it sounds crazy also, but I can't give you that much advice because I do the same thing all the time.
Here's my thing. You should do whatever you want in your life and that
so
makes
what
you
I'm
more
asking
confident. But I
the listeners, should I have liposuction?
No.
Because I want a quick fix. I don't have time to be changing up a whole bunch of shit in my life. Look, I have a schedule to keep.
No, you're
and
not
I eat
get
really
lipo.
Healthy. That's the crazy part. But
you're
I
gonna
do,
call
but
me.
I drink. That's the problem. It's the drink.
Well, yeah, but you're just going to call me and I'm going to whip out my love handles every time. And then you're going to go, oh, I don't look like that, so I
all
guess
right, so
I don't need
all right, you want me to
it.
Lie to you then? You want me to tell you if I'm getting this or not?
No, please don't get will you just think about it? Here's
yeah,
my only
it.
Thing. Here's my only
yeah,
thing.
I thought
okay.
about it yesterday. I called Dr. Ruff. Dr. Ruff, we got a problem.
Don't you?
Here's my only...
Like, be a certain weight to get it? Like, I feel like you're not that.
I'm that weight.
My only thing is this. Before you really get lipo, you got to just ask yourself, is lipo, what are you trying to really accomplish? Because do you really think, let's say he takes 3 pounds from you, 5 pounds. Do you really think that is going to change your course of meeting somebody, of going
out? I don't care
out?
About all that. See, I'm not doing it for somebody else. I'm doing it because I want to look good in my clothes. Because look, ain't nobody got time to be wearing no muumuu out here in this summer heat. This is too much. I already got all this damn hair. It's too much. I got to be free. And I want to travel.
Underwear, like 6 weeks.
What?
Post-op. You like can't wear underwear. You can't wear pants. Like all.
We're going to have to do this podcast from your surgery bed. Because you'll be in there. I mean, liposuction is painful.
Yeah. I mean, I've had it before.
You have?
Yeah.
When?
2009.
Oh, my God. Ouch. How long does it last?
Well, that's the tricky thing. What had happened was, you know, there's a what had happened was. Okay, so I think that I'm the doctor, okay?
Okay.
I go in to have liposuction in 2009. It was the second week we were shooting Real Housewives of D.C.
Okay.
I have my liposuction. Well, I go in to have it, but I say to the doctor, I do not want to be put under general anesthetic. I want it just local. So I want to be like,
oh,
I want
you
to have
told me this
IV
story.
Sedation, okay? IV sedation is what I wanted, which is what I got. My black ass woke up about maybe 30 minutes into the surgery. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
And I remember everything. I woke up. I'm, like, grasping for the doctor. I'm grabbing at the... And I don't think I've told this story before publicly. I don't think.
No, I think you... Wait, did you tell me just personally?
I can't even remember.
Or if you told this on the podcast. But anyway, yeah, I think you just told me
so
personally.
So I'm like grabbing all the... Anyway, to make a long story short, he has to end the surgery like early because I was up and he didn't want to resedate me.
Oh, my God.
So I had all the pain of liposuction without the benefit.
Oh, God.
The nerves reconnecting, all of the... Oh, it was the most painful thing ever, but he didn't really get a chance to get in there and get it.
So this time you're going to have...
So this time I'm going to go under. And I just started thinking about this. Actually, yesterday I was really intense about it because of that T-shirt debacle. Maybe my shirts are just too small.
Yeah, exactly.
That didn't occur to me.
You should do whatever it makes you happy. You really should. But just, you know.
I think I'll give it a good 2 to 4 weeks of working out hard. Stop, you know, cutting back the drinking. Just stop cutting back the drinking. I didn't want to say that all the way. Cutting back the drinking, eating perfectly, working out every day, and then see where I am. If I'm not where I need to be after 4 weeks, then it's coming off. One way or the other, it's coming off.
Do you think it's harder to be a straight woman or a gay man? Do you feel like so much pressure? Because the gay guys do. I mean, there just seems like so much time spent on the body.
But like, I feel like I see straight women walking down the street that look a mess.
Oh, all the time.
And they always have a man. And I'm just kind of like, it doesn't matter what the fuck you look like. You got some action going on down there. I mean, you got you a man.
Yeah, but what do the men look like that are
really... Oh, they're
okay,
despicable.
You never want them. Exactly.
No, I don't
exactly.
want them.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing is, like, maybe you just need to lower your standards.
No, I can't.
Okay. He's
I
too
can't.
Pretty.
I've come too far at this point. It's like, it's too much. I can't
okay.
lower him.
Well, but maybe maybe you just need to chase somebody. Like, would you ever just date somebody? Not chase, but would you ever just date somebody that, like, wasn't in great shape, but just, like, treated you
Absolutely.
Like gold?
Absolutely, I would.
So why are you trying to get in such great shape for yourself? Like,
just for me. Because I want to look good in my clothes. I want to be free and have fun and travel to Europe and run on the beach. I do. I like to do shit like that.
I'm going
to
go with you, but I'm going to take my shirt off and look like this. Are you still going to hang out with me when
course.
I look like this?
I love you.
Okay, good. Well, are you sure? Are your friends? Because
what did I tell Omarosa? Don't make your choices my choices. Don't make your choices my choices.
The only thing I will say is I really do appreciate you giving me the push to try Botox and lip injection because I never would have done it without you.
Yeah.
And it truly was pain-free. And it really actually does make you feel good. And that
it
chemical
really
peel really did change my skin.
It really did, didn't
yeah,
it?
And I never would have done that stuff because I think, too, I can be a little bit of the opposite of getting so crunchy, like almost to like do nothing to yourself. Not like that bad, but I think I can be almost the extreme of like, you know, why, like, I'm just going to be happy for me and not...
Well, I felt people kind of judged you a bit. Some of the listeners, I was a little surprised to look on Twitter.
Oh,
some,
yeah, they did.
You know,
yeah,
that,
definitely.
That support your mindful living, and they really had a hard time accepting the fact that you can believe in mindful living and also get Botox or lip injections.
Well, the problem, and I understand the problem, is I am a person that really does preach that you should be just happy and truly... To me, all that matters is you're healthy, right? If your body, like, some people never live to be the age that we are, right? Mm-hmm. They have brain cancer. They have all these issues. So to me, I'm just grateful every day. And I think this comes from losing a parent, you know, when I was in high school and my father died when he was 49. So, you know, to me, it's like all that matters is that we're healthy. Mm-hmm. That's it. And then...
I agree. First...
For me, the part that came of always trying to lose weight is I was convinced I was never going to get a good man. I was never going to get a good job. I was never going to be on TV unless I was a certain weight. But what I found over the years, and I'm sure you realize this too, is that if somebody, you know, good men are going to leave you mm-hmm. and bad men are going to leave you, whether you're skinny, whether you're fat. And
absolutely.
If they're only going to marry you at a certain size, let me tell you, it is never going to work. You don't want that guy.
Sure.
And then with jobs, I see skinny anchors and reporters and people that have TV shows get fired all the time.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what you look like. You have to have the chops. You know, you've got to have the personality. So I preach that a lot, and I think that people take that as, then why do you feel like having to do a Botox or a lip injection is, how is that even on the same message?
Well... It's really interesting to me. This makes me think of that movie, A Piece of Work, the Joan Rivers documentary.
Oh, my God, which
it?
I love. Yes.
She was being interviewed in that documentary, and the woman was kind of saying to her, well, you know, why do you do all this plastic surgery? And, you know, you want to be loved for your vulnerability. You want to be loved for your kind heart. You want to be loved. And Joan Rivers said, well, no, I just want to be loved.
Oh, like, yeah.
No, not for my. I just want to be loved. And I thought, okay, wow, that's interesting. Yeah, so, I mean, all the stuff that she did to herself, I believe was really for her because it certainly didn't make people lighten up on her at all. They never said like, oh, you're so beautiful or you're so this, you know, in fact, quite the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, they said that she was horrible and she was like an alien and all these things. But she thought she looked good and she did it for herself.
And I think that's what it really comes down to. And the other part of me is I'm a person that loves to try different things. And mm-hmm. I've always wanted to try Botox. Like, what does it feel like? What, you know? And the lip thing is something that I totally love, but I never would have done without getting the push from you guys,
sure.
you know, ever.
Yeah.
So I think it is what you're doing for you. What I know about myself is like for years and years on a diet and, you know, whatever, keeping up with all the skincare and stuff wasn't for me. It was trying to get a guy or a job.
Okay.
You know, so now what I realize is what I do is exactly like what you were saying. It's for me. It's my choice. I don't really care what other people's opinions are. And I'm going to try things.
I love it.
And I really do like now I'm like, oh my God, I want to get more Botox. Like, I'm ready for the next. It's fun. Like, it's so easy. Yeah. It's so fun. And it does really make a difference.
Sure.
So I'm like, I would try it again in a heartbeat.
I love one. Let's go.
Oh, please, we're ready. Oh, my God. If I end up doing lipo, please, somebody email me and send me this episode in 5 years when I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to get liposuction.
Right. Well, you know, we'll see. And I'll keep you posted, but you want me to tell you the truth, right?
Yes, always.
Okay, because, you know, I'm kind of a fast doer, so I'll think of something. I'm like, I want that, and I want it, and then I'll obsess over it for a couple of the Jets here.
He's got to go.
The fucking Jet. I'm trying to relate to the people. I'm talking about Jets and liposuction. This is not working. I'm having a PR nightmare. I'm having a PR nightmare. These people are not going to like me.
People already love
you. I'm trying to keep it real, okay?
You always do. Oh, my God. We couldn't be any more authentic. I feel like we overshare, which is amazing about us.
I know. I hope that doesn't scare off anybody.
Who cares?
What do we have to lose, right?
Yeah, nothing. There you go. We have everything to gain, yeah. We're all set. I love it.
I love it, too.
I have so much fun. And that's the thing. That's the other thing about... Here's what I think would be... Well, I'll say this one more point about me getting Botox. I think what would have been so shitty and so anti-mindfulness is if I had done that and not told people and not shared it. And then people go, people write to me and go, oh, my God, what do you do about your skin? Okay, hey, folks, I go to Dr. Paul Roth because this isn't happening on its own anymore at 35. So,
yeah,
I mean, that would have been sleazy, right, to go on social media and go, hey, you guys, like, you know, here's my face and just, you know, putting on my lotion today. Like,
right,
how
exactly.
How phony is that? Meanwhile.
Yeah, what do you use? Cocoa butter?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
You do not just use cocoa butter.
Cocoa butter.
Right.
I use a face mask. Oh, please.
Exactly.
Anyway.
You know, my regimen, my God.
Lord, yours starts at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't have that time.
It's so funny. We have our event tonight, and I'm I'm like, oh, we can't go to my office. No, I've got to work. I got to go get ready. She's like, but it's in 4 hours. I'm like, yeah, that means I got to leave as soon as this is over. Like, as soon as this is over.
Oh my God, you're amazing. All right, did you have one last story? We're like,
I'm having so much fun just like staring at you. I'm just like, I just love it. Is it the lighting here? What is it?
I don't know. Is
you slip me that love pill?
I did.
I'm staring at her like, what is going on with me?
You're such a good time.
I just love you.
By the way, we are having a waxing and wine party tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Waxing the City Alexandria starts at 5 o'clock. Please come. Free margaritas, wine, food.
Oh, that'd be fun.
50% off any wax that you get that tonight. And I believe, you know, I think they're going to have probably too many appointments, so I bet you'll get a 50% off if you come tonight but book for later. We're going to be giving away a free Brazilian wax. We're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to our live show. What else?
I love it.
You
we're just going
to
have fun. Cyrene's going
to
come with me. Cyrene from Thicker Than Water on Bravo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so maybe she'll get waxed.
Oh, Cyrene. Oh, I can't wait to meet her.
So cute. You haven't met her yet?
I don't think so.
Did you watch that show with the family in the South?
Oh, not Southern Charm.
It's called Thicker Than Water.
Oh, Thicker Than Water. Oh, I actually think I did. Is that show still on?
No, it's not happening anymore.
I know. I liked that show.
Yeah, that was a good show.
What happened?
So anyway, she'll be there. I think they're going to go through WeTV, I heard.
Ooh, Cyrene. Okay. Oh, my God. She's gorgeous.
Isn't she gorgeous?
Yeah.
So much fun.
You hang out with hot friends. What are you going to do when I take my shirt off in front of them?
I'm going to stand right up there and support you.
Can you take your shirt off, too?
No, I'm not taking my shirt off.
I can't wait.
But everybody has a number, just like I said. United, remember, listen to me. Everybody has a number.
Everyone has
you just got to keep up in it.
Dr. Dow, our buddy Dr. Dow. All right, everybody, that's it.
That was a good day, babe.
Oh, my God, what a great show.
I had fun. Therapy. Yeah.
We love you. Send us email, sarah@heyfrage.com. Paul, your email.
You know my email is paul@paulwhartonstyle, and I never have given it out before, but that's what it is. paul@paulwhartonstyle.com. That you put me on blast.
I got to get you.
Send me an email.
We need it. We're going to get new email addresses. But anyway, send us emails. Let us know your feedback always on the show. And please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave a review. Are we good?
That's right.
We'll see you
on our Instagram, Paul Wharton Style, and yours is Hey Praise.
Yeah, follow us.
Love you guys.
Follow us. Give us a like.
And let me know about you get this thing sucked out or what. What do you think?
Oh, my God. Please email him and tell him. Yeah, it's about you.
No, it's about what you're right.
It is.
But I'm interested to hear what the people think.
Oh, my God. They'll tell you. No problem.
No. Bye,
all right, everybody. Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye.
See you next week.
What's the phrase that you hear every day? day, hey phrase. What's the phrase that you hear every day? Hey phrase. What's the phrase that you hear every day? Hey phrase.